Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Why are those judges so important? Do you see this, Lee, shock setting in?
Yeah.
Headline in the Los Angeles Times, Trump has flipped the Ninth Circuit and some new judges are causing a shockwave. Yeah, see, a shockwave would be like if you're normal and you follow the Constitution. That's shocking.
That is shocking for reporters
at the Los Angeles Times. You don't just make it up as you go along and base it on like international law or whatever you feel that day. It's based actually on the Constitution. That is shocking. I'm just watching this and I'm remembering back to all the never Trumpers during the election who were like, well, you know, I'm just going to vote for Hillary then, or I'm not voting for Trump. Cause if the person that's going to save us from Hillary is not pure as the wind driven snow, I'll just sit it out and wait for another election. Yeah. Can you imagine had she won the Ninth Circus would look like right now? And all the other circuses,
what this nation would look like for crying out loud.
Mm. And how it would affect our day-to-day lives. We could not, if Trump wasn't perfect, then by God, we could not allow him to save us. We were just going to have the Republic go down. And that would be that. Good thing nobody listened to them.
Yeah.
The $80 million, I will never forget this as long as I live, that GOP donors spent in the primary could have been spent defeating Hillary, was spent trying to stop Trump. And look what we got.
Yeah.
Trump's just flipped the Ninth Circuit. They tried to stop that with $80 million.
Well, you saw what Sotomayor comments that she made over the weekend.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I don't have all that right in front of me, but yeah. I was just going to say she is now claiming that that the Trump administration has taken over the Supreme Court. That the whole Supreme Court now, not the whole Supreme Court, but of course the Republicans on there that she or the conservatives are doing Trump's bidding. And I'm like, that's what happens when you get people who are constitutionalist and not liberal justice activists.
She said it's partisan. Well, no, what you guys are, again,
exactly.
They always accuse you
of what they're doing.
Yep. Their rulings are partisan. They're not based on the Constitution.
Right.
These people that Trump is appointing are originalists for the most part.
Look at what the Supreme Court over the years has done. They found a right to an abortion where there is absolutely nothing in our Constitution about it.
They found the right to self-identity.
There is nothing in the Constitution about it.
They affirm others' identity.
Exactly. And we could go on and on and on. I mean, whether it's you're talking about illegal immigration or abortion or gun rights or whatever, there are all kinds of liberal rulings that have either taken away or tried to limit our freedoms and liberties that we have under the Constitution. And they do it by making things up here. Even looking at international law, there is no such thing as international law. I'm sorry. I mean, you can call me a judicial idiot if you want to, but there is no international law because there is no international organization that enforces international law. You may have treaties between countries. You may have agreements between countries, but there is no international law. And I don't want to hear about the world court. I don't recognize it. It's that has nothing to do. It is antithetical to U.S. national sovereignty. And I'm not interested in anything like that.
Yeah, well, and here's just an example of all the things we wouldn't have been saved from if we listened to the never Trumpers, who hopefully will come to their senses in this election. Headline, Wisconsin parents suing school district for letting students switch genders without notice. This is the new thing in Wisconsin. It's about a policy where that prevents school officials from communicating about a child's choice to transition with parents if the student does not consent. So the student can come to school, change their name that they want to be called, change their gender they want to be referred to as, and parents can't find out about it. If you want to go, you know, the parents call the school, wait, my, you know, Johnny's now Jenny, and I didn't give him permission to do that. Can you tell him? No, I can't tell you anything about your child. And we will follow the child's preferences, not the parents.
Fine, then talk to my child about that lunch money he owes.
Yeah, right. Really.
Don't come after
me. Yeah, good point. In all seriousness, good point then. But they, you know, they always want to have it two ways,
right? Of course,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Wisconsin parents are suing the school district, saying, no. The parents, who are anonymous in court documents, are asking the judge to halt the Madison Metropolitan School District's policy. The parents filing the case have children at 11 of the district's schools, ranging from elementary to middle to high school. This is a life-altering decision that educators have no business making. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, children have no business making it either.
No.
You know, if you've got a child that has some type of gender identity problem, you know what? Deal with it. I mean, you know, seek counseling or whatever. But I'm sorry, it is child abuse, in my opinion, to be encouraging children to do something like that, to engage in body-altering, you know, medication or procedures before they've reached the age of adulthood. If you as an adult want to decide that you want to change your gender or to alter your body and to resemble another gender, which that's exactly what you're really doing, that's on you. You pay for it. You deal with it. That's fine. But to allow children to to get into this, and then as a function of the state to help them get into this and to empower them into this type of behavior is just it's child abuse.
And you couple that with the that published study that just came out that we talked about last week. It was in a psychological journal saying that, you know, DSS should across the country should begin removing children from parents who don't want to go along with the transition. They watch it just creep and creep and creep. What are they doing here? They're using this transgender stuff, and the left uses everybody. They're using this whole transgender stuff to begin to set the legal precedent that if parents want you to do, you know, want to raise children a certain way, and the school system doesn't like it, and liberal intelligentsia doesn't like it, that the children can be removed from the home. So parents better just keep their mouths shut, and go along with whatever the child wants to do and whatever we're teaching them at school, or they'll lose their child. That's what they're setting up with this. And before you know, I'm telling you, before you know it, it will have morphed from a gender thing to a, well, I don't want to go to church where my parents want me to go to church on the weekend. Cool. We'll send DSS in.
Exactly.
And we'll remove you from the home.
Right.
So the parents better not take you to that church anymore. They risk losing you. That's where the left is going with it. They're just using transgender people to affirm the right to self-identity. Before you know it, you don't want to be a Baptist anymore. You want to be an agnostic. Mom wants you to go to church. You don't have to go. Right to self-identity.
Well,
that's where they're going with this.
Instead of it takes a village to raise a child, it's the village taking your child.
Yeah, taking over your child. This is all about the legal precedent.
Mm-hmm. Except for the paying for it. They'll still want you to do that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're still going to pay for it.
But we're going to make sure you raise that child the way that we think you should raise that child.
And again, if Hillary were the president, you'd have a Supreme Court affirming all this stuff. No rights for parents. Children have to be raised a certain way or else DSS removes them. You'd see all of that. But Trump is standing in the gap. And I got to credit Mitch McConnell for this, too. He has not made me happy on many things over the years, but he has been an absolute warrior getting these judges approved. And, you know, he was great. The end of the Obama administration, putting the brakes on.
Yep.
And not letting them through and letting the backlog build up, mm-hmm. And then Trump got elected. And now he's going like gangbusters, getting all these people appointed, and I think that's great.
That's the one really good thing that we can thank Mitch McConnell for.
And he has done
a
great job.
And he used the rules the right way. He used the rules, quite honestly, that Democrats put in place in the Senate when they were in control.
I know, to steamroll smack over them.
Exactly.
And I think that's a great thing. So thank God for this. This just gives you an idea of where this is going. All these cases will bubble up. And, you know, again, Trump really needs another 4 years because, I mean, you think this won't affect you? Ask the Wisconsin parents that. This starts to affect your life directly. You know, and we had a, you know, warning from that that other article, that, you know, medical study where they're trying to set the precedent of, you know, DSS should remove children if parents don't want to go along with the gender transition. I mean, the warning from that is you better watch what, you know, what doctor you go to.
Yeah.
Because they could turn DSS on you. And you have to be very careful who you put before your children.
I would make sure that if you take your children to a doctor that you stay with them during the examination and the whole thing. I mean, I'm sorry. Because there's things that I've been asked from a doctor that I've told them it's none of your business. I'm not answering it. I mean, there's...
Yeah, at my child's pediatrician, every time they ask me, the question's right there.
Well, I'm talking about my doctor.
Oh, you're... Yeah.
As an adult, there has been some things, and I'm like, I'm not answering this. No.
They have questions on the questionnaire. Yeah. Is there a gun in the home?
Yeah. None of your business.
None of your business.
Has
I don't
nothing
even
to
want
do,
to hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, has nothing to do with my medical examination, period. None of your business.
Yep.
And I will tell you this, though. You better darn sure believe there's more than one in my home.
Yeah, I know. A couple.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In a completely unexpected twist, the Russia wants Trump story has gone up in flames. More national security officials tearing apart the New York Times report about Russian interference. Yeah, this is just Adam Schiff making up more stuff. He leaks fake intelligence, what he does. He's been busted at it like half a dozen times. He did it again. This is all this is. Looks like New York Times report claiming the House Intel Committee was briefed on Russia trying to interfere in the 2020 race to help Trump is now completely falling apart. Anybody surprised? Story was full of holes on Friday. We tore it apart. You can use the story to debunk the story. But anyway. First to raise doubts were CNN's Jake Tapper and CBS's Catherine Herridge. We had that earlier on the show. Now more officials are publicly calling out the story is not accurate, including National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, who confirmed Herridge's early reporting that there wasn't any intelligence evidence, signets, such as communications intercepts and like, to back up the claim. I say our intel community is amazing. They walk into an intelligence committee hearing, classified, closed door, and say, oh, yeah, Russia's trying to help Trump. Of course, the Democrats and Republicans go wild. Republicans want to see the evidence because they don't believe it. The Democrats want to see the evidence because they want to leak it. I don't care if it's classified. And lo and behold, she doesn't have it. We don't have it. Well, we've never seen it from 2016. How would they have it for 2020? So there we go. Yep. Now watch this. This is going to be fascinating. You know, I know, we know this has been debunked. You will be confused in a few weeks. That'll be 2-3 weeks from now. This thing is totally falling apart. There's nothing to it. You'll be confused in a few weeks, though, when you're hearing somewhere, could be Fox News, could be CNN, could be somewhere else, where they're repeating this again, even though CNN debunked it. I'm telling you, I will play a clip of this, probably from CNN, maybe from other places, where they continue on as if this had not been debunked. What, they're still calling Trump a Russian stooge, and Mueller debunked the idea that there was any collusion. Didn't matter. They were embarrassed for a few weeks, their ratings tanked, and then they went back to repeating it. They'll repeat this too. I guarantee you will see this come out of the CNN newsroom as if CNN didn't debunk it. It is bizarre. There's no other way to describe it. All right. Ralph writes in an email to me. Hey, Tara, I have a question. If the Russians are so dangerous, why did Hillary and Barack sell them our uranium? Oh, for the bribes. That's right. Yes, it was just a pure bribery deal. It's not like they were actually involved. This is exhausting. Oh, just the lies, the never-ending lies. It's on and on and on and on. A lot of you talking about Philip Haney, a real Obama whistleblower found dead at age 66. Apparently he was engaged to be married and was ruled a suicide. Folks, and you want me to talk about it? I don't know. I don't want this to turn into a conspiracy show. Yeah, it looks weird. Yeah, we played his explosive claims on this show that he was ordered to hide the backgrounds of Islamists let into this country by the DHS. He blew the whistle on that. I don't know. Meanwhile, the latest polling, devastating for Michael Bloomberg. He did not do well in that debate. Do not write him off. Don't write him off. He's the guy that the Democrat establishment wants. Here's the other thing, too. I don't know if you watched that debate. Just an observation. The person who scares me the most in this race right now is Bloomberg. Nobody scares me as much as Bloomberg does. If you watched that debate, here's what you came away with. Yeah, it was a bad debate performance for somebody in a Democrat debate. It was absolutely the wrong stuff to say. But it was a darn good debate appearance for somebody appearing in a general election debate. I watched that debate and I was like, yeah, that's the wrong way to talk to the Democrat voters, but it's absolutely the right way to talk to the mainstream. And it's absolutely the way to debate Trump. I walked out of there terrified to watch him debate Trump. Let's hope Bloomberg did himself in with that debate with the Democrats. He did. He went in there and pulled off a great general election campaign debate performance. Problem was he's not in the general election. Anyway, a new CBS YouGov national poll. Here it is. Sanders 28%, Warren at 19%, Biden 17%, Bloomberg 13%, Buttigieg 10%, Klobuchar 6%, and then on down the line. So what we need is for Biden and Buttigieg and Warren to stay in this thing and divide up the moderate lane. That's what we really need. And we need Bernie Sanders to continue to hold the left-wing lane at this point. Like I said, nobody scares me like Bloomberg. And I wasn't even going to tell you that last week because I don't want to give him any more mo. I don't want to get quoted or bring him up anywhere, but he seems to be pretty well sunk right now. I don't know. Watch for that broker convention, though. We'll see. See if Bernie can get to 1991. He needs the delegates. Otherwise, the elites decide. I'm telling you, Bloomberg would be formidable in a general. Okay, Lee, so people demanding over the weekend, this was trending on Twitter, the firing of Chris Matthews.
Oh, please. I saw that, and I listened to the exact what he actually said, and it's like, please.
He was talking about Bernie winning, and this is what he said. He likened Bernie winning to the fall of France.
I was reading last night, Brian. I know you're a history guy, too. I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940. And the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart. And I think he's damn right on this one.
That has nothing to do with comparing the Democrat Party or anything to the Nazism.
Yeah, he was basically saying, you know, his point, if you listen to the rant up until there, is look, Bernie's clearly the front runner.
Right.
Now, that was his point. And so people went all offended. Oh, Sanders, you know, had family members that, you know, died in the Holocaust. Okay, well, that's really sad and really terrible, and we think that's awful. But here's the thing. Chris Matthews has compared Trump, people around Trump, supporters of Trump, to Nazis.
Yes.
Over and over. Yes. And over. Nobody called for his resignation. No one cared if they were Jewish. Nobody cared a lick about it until all of the sudden he, you know, kind of mentions Nazis and Bernie in the same paragraph, and an absolute freak out ensues.
But there was no direct comparison.
No.
There. I mean, this is such a stretch. And believe me, I have no great love loss for Chris Matthews. I think he's a nutball, but Come on. I mean, folks, we got to get real in this country. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
All the media does is call us Nazis day in and day out and day in and day out. And that's never a big deal. Nobody ever has to resign. Nothing ever trends. And, you know, and to call us Nazis, I mean, the Nazi party, Nazis stood for in German, German Socialist
right.
Workers Party.
Right.
They were socialists.
Yes. And what party now allies itself with socialists and workers? That's the Democrat Party.
You know, I posted about this over the weekend. This was a fascinating thought experiment on Twitter. And I posted about a young woman that was murdered, one of the 16,000 people that Hitler guillotined. And it's a very sad story. She's a beautiful, beautiful young woman who was, you know, part of the youth resistance to Hitler. And I did was point out that the Nazis were socialists. And, you know, just like the people running right now. It was Sophie Scroll, who was guillotined by the Nazis. All I wrote was Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers Party. The Nazis were socialists, the same doctrine virtually the entire Democrat field espouses. And I had leftists going crazy on me for writing that. Didn't I know? Wasn't I familiar with history that Hitler had the good socialists killed? And he was actually a right winger. He was a right wing fascist. He was not a socialist. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And people were telling me to do my research. Here's one of the deranged leftists here. Reality is democratic socialism was outlawed and democratic socialists were rounded up, jailed, exiles when the Nazis took over. They weren't, you know, you're saying they're not really socialists. Let's read a quote from Adolf Hitler himself. Let's see what Hitler thought about whether they were socialists. Quote, "We are socialists." Pretty unambiguous.
Yeah.
"We are socialists, comma, we are enemies of today's capitalistic economic system for the exploitation of the economically weak, with its unfair salaries, with its unseemly evaluation of a human being according to wealth and property instead of responsibility and performance, and we are all determined to destroy this system under all conditions." I heard a thing just like that at a Bernie rally last week. You know, the Indian woman screaming about destroying capitalism?
Yeah.
And they say, I mean, to say the Nazis, they were socialists? I mean, to say they're not. It's just like you just shake your head and you're like, how? Here's another one. This is how delusional these people are. No, they were far right fascists. The Nazis were far right fascists. They wanted to destroy capital. I'm sorry. No, there is not a right winger who wants to destroy capitalism.
Nope.
It does not work that way. Either stop lying or stop being ignorant and read a history book or watch a documentary. You're no better than the people on the left that say Stalin was a fascist. Two sides of the same coin. So Nazis are far right fascists, but they're socialists. Does that make any sense?
Not at all.
No, but they think it does. They think it does. So anyway, they cannot see the connection. Cannot see it. It's just, you know, but Chris Matthews couldn't either. I mean, he was lauding the benefits of democratic socialism less than 3 weeks ago. On MSNBC. No, it's Democrat socialism. Okay. Whatever you say.
Yeah. Just.
All right, let's jump on the line with Melvin in Hendersonville. Hey, Melvin.
Hey. I sure enjoy your show. I'm a first-time caller. I believe I've got the correct name for Joe Biden. We need to get it to Donald Trump if we can somehow. His name should be Pinocchio Joe.
Yeah. I know. I'm serious.
That's accurate.
You know, it is accurate. And, you know, this latest whopper of Joe's, Melvin, and thank you for your phone call. This should be a career ender. Just this one should be the end. I mean, to make a gaffe like this. Did you hear this? He claims that he, in 1977, Lee, he said this twice in the stump in the last week, Biden has, that he and the ambassador to South Africa were arrested in 1977 because they were trying to go see Nelson Mandela in jail, and they got arrested. Okay, Joe was a member of Congress at the time. He was a senator. Do you think a senator being arrested for trying to go see Nelson Mandela, a sitting senator. You think that would have, like, produced a news clip somewhere?
Most likely, yeah.
Okay. Well, when Joe says it was him and the ambassador who were arrested. Okay. If a U.S. senator was to be arrested in another country, that'd be a major international incident for starters. But our ambassador would be right on the money, right involved, right?
Yep.
Especially if that ambassador was arrested with Joe. So they went and called up the ambassador. He's still alive. He's 87. I said, you and Joe get arrested? He's like, what? No. And he says he was never arrested. And he's no recollection of Joe ever being arrested either. And he'd know. He was the ambassador. The first person anybody'd call if a U.S. senator was arrested. Where is this? I mean, it was covered some by the mainstream media, but I mean, can you imagine if Trump told us a whopper of this magnitude?
Oh, yeah.
If any Republican, you know, aspiring presidential candidate told a whopper of this magnitude on the eve of South Carolina in South Carolina,
remember all that was made about Donald Trump making the claim that when 9/11 happened that he saw Muslims dancing in the street in New York and he saw it on television?
Right, which was actually reported on at the time.
Yeah.
You know what it was? It was the other thing they got him. I know what it was. It was that he went down. He was walking around down there and he was offering to help and stuff like that. And people were saying he didn't do that. And then they ended up finding people who were like, yeah, we saw Trump walking around offering to help. And all of that was, yeah, totally debunked. And remember how crazy they went on him for that? And Joe just makes up stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe gets arrested in South Africa. He... what are some of his other whoppers? Oh, remember he risked his life to present that medal.
Yeah.
Remember when he flew to Afghanistan, except he didn't do it?
Yeah.
There is nobody who got the medal from him.
And you've talked about the whole thing with his the sad death of his wife and the way he has misrepresented how that collision took place.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the plagiarism. Well, I won't say conviction, but the accurate portrayal of his plagiarizing speeches, too.
Texter writes, I think Bernie supporters are confusing socialism with social justice by design, though.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at basically the difference between democratic socialism and socialism is after we turn the property over, like the businesses over, to the Democrats, we're just going to trust them to do the right thing if we tell them what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to trust that they'll be democratic because our guys are better than their guys. That's the only difference. Text raise. Oh, I forgot this part. There's no reference in Biden's memoirs either.
Yeah.
Did Biden forget his arrest in South Africa when he wrote his memoirs?
You kind of think something like that would make an important chapter.
I know. But you know what? He's been doing this since the campaign trail with Obama. And again, this is another instance of the media doesn't vet these guys. If you're on the left, you don't get vetted ever. And that really bit them on the butt with Hillary, did it not?
Mm-hmm.
If they'd really done a fair job in, you know, examining her background like they did with Trump, I'm not sure she would have gotten the nomination and we might have had a Democrat president. And Carville's right. Sanders is where he is because he's never really been vetted by the media. Okay, so Democrat Party freak out over Bernie taking the lead. Here's Chris Matthews' evaluation of what happened over the weekend in Nevada.
Bernie's been winning consistently, and I think it's mathematically understandable. Every time we poll, every time Steve and everybody polls, two-thirds of the Democratic vote, two-thirds of people who call themselves Democrats are either liberal or very liberal. All Bernie ever had to do, and he's done it beautifully, is get a majority of that, and he's up to the mid-30s. If you get half of 67, you're into the mid-30s. Biden, his only prayer was to consolidate the third of the vote that's moderate and conservative. And he got nowhere near clearing that field, nowhere near. That's split up four ways now. The only way Biden could win in that one-third of the vote that's either moderate or conservative is to sweep it. He got nowhere near. It is pretty much over unless that changes. I was reading last night, Brian, I know you're a history guy too. I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940. And the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart. And I think he's damn right on this one.
Yeah, we'll see. They won't give up trying to take it from him. the elites because they don't control them. It's the same thing with Trump. They love socialism. He's just not their socialist. That's the problem. All right. Did you see Trump in India? Rockstar greeting 125,000 people packing that stadium. You'd have thought he was in Ohio the way they were going crazy. Or Florida or somewhere. So what does that tell us? Well, we're supposed to be reviled around the world now, right? It's because unless you're on an apology tour, everybody hates you, right? Except it's just not the case. But what was Trump doing there? This is the coolest part. Do you know why Trump is there? You know why he held that rally? Like what the end game is? It's obviously not up for election in India. It's the trade deal. He's working on a trade deal with India. And what better way to set them up in a good way for the negotiations than with a rally? You know what this was, too? This was a giant finger in the air to China. Trump was very transparent about what he was doing in India. He's setting up supply lines. He's setting India up to take China's place because China is, you know, we need somebody to make cheap stuff. China has predatory trade practices. They weaponize their goods with government subsidies against certain industries to take them out. And so Trump wants to finish end their access to U.S. markets for all practical purposes. So he's there in India messing with China's mind while trying to cut a trade deal with India, which has had traditionally high tariffs, high trade barriers to our goods that we have not had to theirs. Brilliant kicking the whole thing off with a rally. Here's James Carfano with Heritage Foundation explaining what's going on with all this.
Well, you know, the U.S. has been trying to move this relationship forward since the Bush years. So why is it really gaining momentum now? Well, part of it's the two leaders that you saw on stage there who personally take responsibility for really energizing this relationship. But the other three reasons are China. What was the other one? Oh, yeah, China, right? This is so strategically important for the United States to block China's destabilizing activity, not just in the Pacific, but in the Indian Ocean. But also, if the U.S. wants a big manufacturing partner, a low-cost manufacturing partner that is stable and dependable and can have supply lines and logistic lines that go into a country that we can depend on, that option is going to be India, now the fifth largest economy in the world. So it really is an organically natural strategic partnership.
Yep, he's messing with China. This whole thing was aimed at Chinese, at the Chinese. He goes in there, gets the Indian people all hepped up. That helps him negotiate with their leaders. But he also is showing China, look, I'm moving on. We're replacing you. You get left behind. We don't have anything you need. It's a brilliant strategy. Here's some more Carafano explaining this.
Let's go back to the trade deals and let's bring this up for everyone at home because they can take a look on the screen about the U.S.-India trade balance. This is goods and services looking back to 2018, 25.3 billion, 2017, 27.5 billion, and then it goes from there. So why would this be good for President Trump?
Well, this is the tough part of the relationship. And again, why I admire these two leaders so much is they're working through this. India is a very closed market for a modern economy. That's something they're really struggling with, getting past the barrier, the historic and traditional barriers to how India does business. That's really tough for the Indians. And look, I've been there many, many times. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens fast. So you got to stick with it. And I do believe eventually the U.S., they were very, very close. They will get to a trade deal, and that will just be the first of many that will really bridge those two economies. And when you pair the American and Indian economies together in trust and confidence, that will be a global force that will literally be unstoppable.
And it'll leave China behind in the dirt, which is exactly what Trump's planning.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.